Fact that we get to gather here today, we thank you for the fact that you are love, that you are truth, that you are the embodiment of the definition of love, Father. And so, Lord, as we come together in love for you, in adoration for you, Father, help us to worship with our whole heart. Help us to pour everything out like you poured it out for us. We thank you for it. And all of God's said, people said, amen. Amen. Come on, let's worship.
heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
It's all about you. It's all about you, Lord, we thank you for this morning, God. We thank you that it is all about you this morning, God. We're here for you. And thanks be to you that you're here for us. God, you said whenever we draw close to you, you draw close to us. So, God, so I thank you for everyone that's here this morning. You're here to meet us. You're here to speak to us. You're here to love us. You're here to change us. And God, we welcome all of it. We can trust you with your heart towards us, God. You're a good father. Join me as we pray this morning. You know, we have the great opportunity to help distribute this food through the Blessing Project. It's been an amazing opportunity for our region that this food would come in and meet people's needs, amazing opportunity for us to serve our region, and we just thank God for that. So let's pray about it. Let's pray right now. Join with me. God, I just thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for your provision. I thank you for the wisdom that helped to not waste this food but bring it to the needs of the people, God. And God, I thank you for the people that have been serving this week and last week. God, I thank you that it went off very well. I thank you that everything came together very well. And God, we pray that as we do this again, as we go forward, we welcome the opportunity to do it again. And we pray that it would all go very well. Everything would have its place and everything would be in order. But even more important than that, God, I pray that every life that is touched, would be an opportunity for you to reach them. God, that as we give them food and meet their natural needs, God, I pray that something spiritual would happen on the inside of them. God, I pray that their heart and their mind would be open to your love. God, I pray that we would make great connections with people. We would show them that we've been met by love by God and that we love them. God, that they would walk away with that and they would sense that. And by your Spirit, you would call them closer to you. And they would find the love that loves them beyond anybody else here on earth. That love that comes from heaven, God. The love that gave everything for them is giving them this food too. And we thank you for it, Jesus. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for every testimony we've already heard of lives changed and people met. And we want to see many more. So God, bring them to us. We'll serve them. We'll love them. We'll do anything we can to help them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bless you guys as you're seated. Hallelujah. I'm Pastor Brad. Great to have all of you here. Those of you in person and those of you online, great to have you. Hallelujah. I wasn't going to do this, but I think somebody that was serving yesterday, if you have a quick testimony, come stand right here. And this is not rehearsed. Normally it's rehearsed and all that. But if you want to come, stand right over here and give a quick testimony. You were here yesterday. God used you to minister to somebody. You want to do that? You can come. And Adam is standing there. And Dave is standing there. All right. So let's, here, grab this microphone. And go ahead, Adam.
I served yesterday, and it was a long day, and it was a cold day.
Yeah,
but
like,
you know,
really
we
cool.
and I was part of the actual distributing team, moving the boxes and stuff, and we just to have all of those people out there in the cold doing God's work and be joyful the entire time, to have the worship music playing while we did it, and to just be raising our hands to the Lord as we did the Lord's work, just really it ministered to me. To see that this church body was joyful in the work of the Lord and thankful to the Lord that we got to do that work. So I want to thank God for showing me all of that and thank all of you that were there to minister to me yesterday.
Amen. Thanks, Adam. Dave, amen. 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 Good stuff, man. That's good stuff. Dave?
First off, I want to thank Melissa and Ed Miles because they're doing a tremendously awesome job. I don't think this thing would be going as smooth as it was if it wasn't for them. This has touched my life. I genuinely like helping people. That's just my nature. But this has touched me in a way where I didn't think possible. And I wrote something on Facebook yesterday that it was cold. But the Holy Spirit kept all of us warm. we were all the love we all have for each other. And like I said to Pastor Brad, yesterday what I saw and the week before is that this whole experience is making the people of this church stronger. It's bringing us more together as a family. So when we say faith, family, and friends, we are displaying exactly what that means. And I am honored and privileged and humbled to be a part of that. I really am. And it's just an unbelievable feeling. It's unbelievable to touch the hearts of people. It's unbelievable to see all types of people come through this distribution line. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I am blessed to be a part of it.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
Amen. Woo. Amen. Amen. Good job. Thanks, guys. I appreciate that. This isn't by mistake up here, this pallet, Jack. Someone just said, did he forget that up there? No. No. That pallet jack, actually Steve Whipple bought that to help us with this. That's why it's got his name on it. But and that pallet, you see that one pallet there? We have unloaded and distributed 42 of those. Each one of them holds 63 boxes. 2,650 boxes. 2,650 boxes. It's amazing. Stay tuned. The Lord has been speaking to me. We are going to change things up this week a little bit. The Lord told me we're going to do it a little differently this week. So stay with me on that. Okay? So we serve it His direction. Amen? Amen. Amen. So hallelujah. Another real quick testimony, and that's Gordon and Diana are going to come right now, and they're going to share testimony with you. And, you know, Gordon is a little nervous, but we're just going to smile at him and make him feel comfortable, all right? That's what we're going to do. But as they're making their way here, yeah. Okay. This is a real big stretch for him, so I'm proud of him for doing this. You know, as they're coming, if you're visiting with us or if you're online today, a great way to connect with us. We really don't think you're connecting with us by happen chance or coincidence. We really believe that this is a God thing, whether it's online or whether you're here. And the best you can, if you want to connect with us, because we believe that, you know, God can really do something in you and he can do something through you. And so if you want to connect with us, a great way to do that, you can stop at our information centering and get the old school card, connection card, and fill that out and do that. Or the better way, the digital version, is you text welcome to the number on the screen, if you'll do that. And then a link comes back to you. Press on that link and then complete the little quick, it takes you about a minute, to complete that little card, and then we're connected. And that really will, we're using text more and more to connect with people and with everybody and keep them up to date. Because things move fast, so that's the best way to do it. So anyway, hallelujah. So you guys ready? Grab that microphone right there and talk to us.
Very nervous. Thanks for my wife that wrote this up because of, on a few words, a man of many few words. Before last year, my wife and I had not stepped into tithing. I felt that we were not in a place financially to do that. We were both working, paying our bills, but we were living paycheck by paycheck. We were not really stable enough to handle any large emergency expenses.
But in January 2020, we received a prophetic word from a very appreciated sister in the Lord who had no way to know our financial situation, let alone if we were tithing or not. The word went something like this. If you put your trust in God and tithe Gordon's check for the next year, the Lord is going to pour out his blessings onto your family in ways you can't imagine. After deliberating and praying together, we decided to take the plunge.
What happened this past year was eye-opening to the blessing of tithing. We both got promotions. Diane had not gotten one in 3 years at her job and was told it wouldn't never happen. I got many bonuses, and we both never lost our jobs.
Yeah. Yeah, God is good. When my hours were cut due to COVID, God showed up through faithful people in this church, as well as through many other blessings. We were never lacking. Our roof began to fall apart in February, and we were able to get a new one. We paid off 4 credit cards. At times, we were able to bless a few people as well. And the list goes on and on. I could be here all day.
God is faithful, and we learned this year that we cannot afford not to tithe. Yes, as Pastor Brad says, you can't outgive God.
That's it.
Thank you.
Woo! Thank you.
Isn't that awesome? That's a good job. Good job. Hallelujah. Let's see how proud I am of you. Probably about 15 of you, if I'm reading the stats right, about 15 of you have started tithing that weren't doing it last year. That's about a 20% increase. And if you're wondering, I think if you're hanging around here, you know that the money comes in, it goes out, and it's used for the glory of God. I think you figured that out, haven't you? Nobody around here is getting rich. I can assure you that. Holy smokes. Okay. So I just encourage you. If you've never done the tithes challenge, I'm going to probably stop talking about it now. But if you've never done it, I encourage you to jump in there. You can go on the app and do that. The tithes challenge, if you're new, is just simply to tithe. Tithe means tenth. Give the first 10% of your income to the Lord for 90 days. Do it faithfully. Do it consistently. Do it faithfully. End of 90 days, if you're struggling financially, you've got a severe financial problem, or you haven't seen God bless your life, you come and see me. We refund you 100%. Okay? Because I know it works. I know it works. So, I mean, that's why I can put this right out there publicly, because I know it works. Seen God do some amazing things. If you have not picked up your copy, this is free to you. The Lord told me to buy. I bought 80 copies of this. Told me to buy this book and give it to you. It costs you nothing. Just all you got to do is go to the information center, say, I want a copy of the book. Okay? Don't say, I need 5 copies to give away to all my friends, because we don't have enough to do that. But pick this up, and that just and it's yours. But you got to read it. Amen? If you want to lay in bed at night and put it on your forehead, it's not going to work. You got to read it. Okay, all right, so, all right, just making sure we're all clear on that, all right? This verse of Scripture is not a theme Scripture, but Deuteronomy 28:13 is something that the Lord has really put in my heart. And bring that Scripture up, Anthony, please, 28:13 of Deuteronomy. This is a verse of Scripture that I feel like the Lord really spoke to me, and I'm hanging on to it for all of us this year. You see this verse of Scripture? Look at this. If you listen to the commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving to you today. Now, this is Moses talking to the people of God. Okay? And if you carefully obey them, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. It's about promotion. It's about elevation. It's about movement and your career and who you are. Okay? And you'll always be on the top and never at the bottom. That's a pretty intense promise, don't you think? And so today, you know, that's a promise to you. But you got to be careful to do what the Lord is telling you to do. Amen? It isn't automatic. You got to do it. You got to be faithful to do what God is telling you to do, right? Okay, so let's pray. We're going to pray right now, and they're going to bring up the giving slide. This is you know you can go on the app, you can go on the website, you can go out here, you know you can do all those things to give. And again, if today is your first time at Seaport with us online or in person, please don't give. I don't want you to give. You say, well, what? Yeah, you heard me right. I do not want you to give. I want you just to receive this service as a blessing to you, okay? Now, if you want to give, that's up to you, but I don't want you to, okay? Just be blessed today if this is your first time, okay? So let's pray. Let's pray in agreement with this, amen? So, Lord, thank you. Thank you. We're so honored. Lord, you're not cheap. You're not broke. And as we trust you, you release such blessing into our lives in every way. It's amazing. And so, Lord, we give today out of love for you and love for others. Be glorified in all this. Lord, some of us, tithing is not a big deal. It's not a big deal to me. It's been such a long part of my life. God, for others of us, it's a real challenge. Help us to rise to that challenge like Gordon and Diana did, and let them too see what Gordon and Diana talked about. In Jesus' name. Amen, friends?
Amen.
Amen and amen. All right, we're hurrying along here. Just a couple of real quick updates on some things. Our youth group, they're meeting now every Friday night for chill night. And if you saw some of the pictures, Chris got a little work out of them this week. That was kind of fun. But also, if you're brand new to Seaport or you've been hanging around for a while and you'd like to step in and learn how to serve, we have a special opportunity that equips you to do that called Activate. You can sign up for that as well. Also, on Wednesday night, we're continuing the series, Drive Through History. This has just been a phenomenal video series. It takes us to the places where the Bible happened. The Bible isn't a book that just talks about all kinds of spiritual things. It talks about things that happen in very specific locations. That's how you can trust it. So that's why I drive through history. Every Wednesday night, there's a tremendous group of people that minister to children. Boys called Rangers, girls called Impact. And it's interesting some of the stuff that they learn. Like this week, okay? The Discovery Rangers, they're working on rope craft and they're studying the book of the Bible called Ruth. You know, so it's all tied together. It doesn't just happen. It's not just Bible study, or it isn't just a skill. Rope craft and the book of Ruth. I'm not sure how I would ever put those together, but they're doing it, you know? And then, you know what? The stars are in Impact. I don't know if you saw some of the pictures. That was great pictures, okay? I mean, they just learned about missionary efforts in Africa. They learned some African dances. They made, who would ever think of this? Toilet paper. African toilet paper. African outfits. And they can say a few unpronounceable African words. So there's so much. I mean, we have such a great team of leaders and Rangers and Impact, and they pour it out every week. And we're going to have an award ceremony in a few weeks. You are going to be blown away at what these kids know. And some of you are going to be like, I don't think I know that. So that's good stuff. Amen. Amen. Are you ready to jump into the Word of God this morning? Are you ready? You know what? Just before we jump into this, next week we begin a brand new series where we're going to go through Ephesians 6 about through the armor of God. And we're going to talk to you about those six pieces of spiritual armor. And that's going to be a powerful series. But that starts next week as we jump into that. But let's get into improving your love life. I don't know. It was kind of unusual. It was for me. It had never happened to me before. It was like the entire Bible got compressed to like one paragraph, and that's all I could read for several days. This went on for days. I tried to read other places in the Bible as I prayed and thought, and I couldn't. I was just drawn back to this one verse of these two verses of scripture, and it was just like God was just burning them into my heart. And I said, "What is this all about? I can't." It had never happened before, and it's maybe only happened once since in all those decades. What is that? The verse of scripture was this verse of scripture. It was the other John 3:16, written by the disciple. He's an old man when he writes this. He's probably nearly 85 or 90. And everybody's off the scene. Everybody else is gone. He's the last remaining apostle. And he, living in Ephesus, and he writes these words. He says, this is how we know what real love is. Because Jesus gave his life for us, we ought to give up our lives for our brothers and our sisters. This is being burned in my heart. And I thought, what is that about? Why is that? in the days and the weeks that would follow, it would make sense to me why God was etching that in my heart. And God would bring a fellow Bible college student into my life that was completely and totally different from me. His background, his experiences, his struggles were things I couldn't even comprehend, never had any experience with, never had any understanding of. And God said to me, I want you to lay your life down and help him. And I'm like, I don't want to. I don't think I even want to be seen with him. I don't know. You ever had an experience like that? I'm like, yeah, really? But God had burned this into my heart repeatedly. And over the weeks and the months that would take place, I spent a lot of time with him. And I got to tell you, it was uncomfortable. I would have never chosen him as a friend, ever. You know? There were times I just wanted to say, Lord, could I just slap him? Could I just once, you know? And I've spent so much time with him that even some of my other, you know, classmates were kind of looking at me like, it was uncomfortable in a lot of ways. I'm not going to kid you. And this went on and on for a long time. But through that, I learned I had to learn how to love better. And if there's one thing I've discovered, and maybe you've discovered it too, love is something much more that we learn than what we feel. It's a decision that we often make, isn't it? It really, really is. The feeling is great and often comes along with it, but so often the feeling isn't there and cannot be trusted, but the decision is what holds us. That's love. You know what? What is love anyway? Now, if you've been to a Christian wedding, there's probably a 90% chance that you have heard this passage of Scripture. Now, Paul, when he wrote it to the church in Corinth, he wrote it to them to say, hey, guys, when you're operating in spiritual gifts, make sure everything that you do is out of love. But somehow, we've turned it into a wedding scripture. Paul did not write it as a wedding scripture, but it does work, okay? And Paul lays out what love is, and he goes, love is patient, love is kind. It's not jealous, it's not boastful, it's not proud, it's not rude, okay? It does not demand its own way. Look at this. It's not irritable. Uh-oh. Some of us are in trouble. And it keeps no record of being wrong. Wow, listen to that one. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Boy, that could speak to our culture, can't it? Wow. Love never gives up. It never loses faith. It's always hopeful. It endures through every circumstance. Wow. We probably could end the sermon right there and go, ouch. Probably could. But if I was to take everything so far and bring it down to one thing, I would do this. I'm going to do this. What is love? I'm going to define it this way. Love is to seek another's highest good. I want you to think about that. Love is to seek another's highest good. You know? And because what does that do? That immediately takes the focus off of us, doesn't it? It immediately does that. You know, immediately makes us make some hard choices. It makes us do all those sorts of things. And I thought about this, and I thought, what would that look like in some of the big five loves of our lives? Oh, we have many more loves than what I'm about to tell you, but what would it look like in the five big loves of our life? And obviously, let's take a walk through these. I mean, the very first big love of our life, obviously, and you've heard about it this morning, is our love for God and God's love for us. Now, Jesus, they were always trying to trick him. They were always trying to trip him up. I mean, whenever Jesus gave a press conference, the reporters were always trying to, you know, try to catch him in a gotcha moment. Always trying to do that. And this particular time, the quote-unquote reporters were a group of religious people, a religious sect at the time called the Pharisees. Their name literally meant pure ones, and they prided themselves in being the most pure religious people you could find anywhere. And, of course, they were boastful and proud and arrogant and rude and all the things we just read. Well, shouldn't, and that's what they were. most of them. And one of them happened to be an expert in the law. He was like a professor of Mosaic law. That's what he was. And so he was kind of like pushed to the front. And they always had this constant ongoing debate. What is the most important rule in all of the law? And they debate that. So they thought, well, let's see what Jesus says. They were looking for a gotcha moment. That's what they were doing. And so Jesus goes, easy. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That's the first and the greatest commandment. And they're like, ah, crud. It was a mic drop moment, you know? That makes sense because, you know, John, you know, the guy that we referred to right at the beginning of the sermon, you know, John, the disciple who was right there, who heard Jesus say this, later on in his little letter, what we call 1 John, he would say, God is love. The very essence of who God is love. It's not justice. It's not condemnation. It's not fear. It's not intimidation. It's not even power. The very essence of God is love. That means that everything that comes out of God is love. Yeah, even judgment. That's hard for us to comprehend. But I want you to dial back with me for just a moment. Do you know why every one of you are here? Not at Seaport, but here on this planet. Yeah, some of you are saying, yeah, it has something to do with love of my parents. Yeah, that's true, yes. Yes, you get an A. You figured that out. All right, good. But there's a greater purpose than that. You are here because the God of the universe looked and said, I want someone to lavish my love on. That's why you're here. The creator of the universe created you that he could lavish his love on you. And you could experience that love and go and stand in the cold and lavish his love on other people. Amen? That's who you are. That's why you're so incredibly important and valuable, because you are the expression of the love of God. Did you know that? And that's why the enemy of our soul, the devil, Satan, whatever you want to call the dude, you know, he owns all those names, you know, is constantly trying to berate and demean and destroy people because they are the very essence of the love of the Creator God. Pretty potent stuff when you start thinking about it. But the question is this. The question really now is this. Is that if love is to seek another's highest good, what does that mean when it comes to us expressing God's highest good? What is that? What is that? Obviously, you know, when you stop and you begin to think about that, it means, as Andy's already said, you draw near to him. What is God's highest good? It is for us to draw near to him, to love him, to follow his plan and to experience his love and to share his love and to represent him well to the world, to allow his thoughts to be our thoughts, to study his word and bring our lives into conformity with what his word says. And to discover real life so that we can be out there as an expression of his love to people that he is desperately concerned about. Amen. Desperately. And to let our first thoughts, if you wake up in the morning and this question comes to your mind, today, how will I seek God's highest good? That might be an unusual question to come to your mind, but how will you do that? You'll draw near. You're going to represent him. You're going to see everything that's in your life as an expression of the love of God to you and your counter by loving others and loving him. Simple but tough. But how about the next arena? And that's our spouse. You can't have a Valentine's message without talking about that, can you? You know? What if you made a commitment to seek your spouse's highest good? What would that look like? I thought about that this morning in my relationship with my wife. We've been married 42 years, and I'm asking myself this question. What does this really mean to seek Debbie's highest good? I'm not sure I'm there yet. You know, I'm not sure I'm there yet. But trying. Listen to these verses of scripture from Ephesians chapter 5. It says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Oh boy, there's a standard. And gave himself up for her. And then, actually, I reverse these intentionally. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. Interesting. You can read that whole passage. There's more to it. I have never, in 42 years plus of full-time ministry, I have never, ever, ever seen a marriage where the husband said, I'm going to love my wife like Christ loves the church and gave himself for it. And the wife says, I'm going to follow my husband's leadership as he seeks to follow the Lord. I have never seen it dissolve through almost 5 decades. Oh, I've seen a lot of selfish pigs wreck their marriages. I've seen that. And a whole bunch of other things. But I've never seen that. What if we were to ask ourselves every day, what is my spouse's highest good? Oh, it's got to be two-way. It's got to be mutual. This course I'm about to finish has been very challenging for me, and I'm thankful I'm only 2 weeks away from finishing it. Thank God. Hallelujah. I thought when I started it was just going to be a series of skills, kind of a skill building. But no, they weren't. They were interested more. They were interested not only in competency but in character. So there's been a lot of character development that's been going on, and some of the coursework. I took one of the documents that they as part of my coursework, and I included it. If you're new around here, Seaport has a private Facebook page. We call the connection page. It's kind of the family page, the inside family page. And if this becomes your home, you say, this is the place I want to be part of, then we'll invite you to be part of the connection page. It's just really kind of, like I said, a family page. And then on that page, there's all kinds of pictures, all kinds of happenings. It's a very active page. And anyway, that's just for people that are call Seaport their home. Okay, that's all it's for. On that page, there's a file that I put there. It talks about 44 relational ingredients. And really, the concept, very simply, is this, is to be in tune with yourself and to be in tune with the people around you enough to be able to say, what is it that I need? What is it that you need? You know, and to be able to understand how to meet that need. What if you and your spouse were committed to understanding one another so that you knew and you could easily express what you needed and the other one would be committed to doing their best to see that need met? Well, what do you think would happen? As part of my coursework this week, part of my homework, I had to do an exercise with one of my classmates. This is a missionary in Nairobi, and so we're doing this over Zoom, obviously. And they turned to me partway through this, and they said, what is it that you need? And I'm like, I don't know. I thought, boy, even me sometimes doesn't know. And so I thought for a moment. I said, you know, I really need prayer for this particular area. That would be very helpful. And so we prayed about that. And then I turned and I said to them, what is it that you need? And I set out to meet that need, that relational need in their life. What if we were committed to meeting a relational need, especially in the life of our spouse? Get that document out. Try and get it out today if you can. Take a look at it. 44 relational. It will help you. It'll bring you back. It's the same kind of a concept that we studied a year ago in People Fuel. But let's go on here. Let's think about our families now. Let's go to this third big arena, you know, a heart called our family. What would it be like if you and I made a commitment that we are going to seek our family's highest good? What would that be? What would that look like? The Bible doesn't speak like specifically to that, but it does make this statement, which is rather interesting. It's kind of funny in one way. Fathers, don't frustrate your children with no-win scenarios. It's kind of funny, isn't it? But listen to this. Take them by the hand and lead them in the way of the master. Wow, that's potent, isn't it? I mean, when you're with your family, do you choose to be present, engaged, or do you get lost in screen land? You know, are you there? Are you seeking opportunities to say, you know what? We just need family time. Now, don't say, you know, I mean, I've watched some Christians say, oh, you know, we're just going to stop going to church so we can be together as a family. That's really not a wise move, okay? Really, it will not take you where you need to go. I mean, are you seeking to keep your family involved in the various opportunities? You can't go to all of them. You're not supposed to go to all of them. But are you keeping them involved in the various opportunities here? Are you taking them by the hand? Do you look into the eyes and the faces of the members of your family and say, I love you. I love you. Do you look at your kids, even sometimes when you're like, can I put them up for adoption? Can I do that? Pastor Brad, can I do that? Would that be okay? Could I just leave them at the church for you? No. Do not leave them here for me. All right. We've all had those moments, of course. We've all had them, you know. But do you see your kids as gifts of God to you? That's what they are. I know some of you want to re-gift, but you can't. You can't do it. You know? I look at our daughter, Lindsay, and I go, a gift of God that we actually didn't expect that we would ever have. And then the gift of Matt. And then the gift of Felix. And I go, Lord, I'm blessed beyond measure. Gifts of God. Do you see that? You know? Do you see that? I mean, do you love them enough to hold them accountable? Do you love them enough to teach them to be responsible? Do you love them enough to say, you know what? You're going to knock that off. Do you love them enough to say, you know what? You said you were going to do it, and you didn't do it. We're going to talk about that. Do you love them enough to do that? Do you love them enough to say, no, not happening? Do you love them enough to do that? If you don't, you don't love them enough. I know what some of you are saying. I've heard it said. Well, I'm going to use the same parenting style that my parents used on me because I turned out pretty good. You don't know how many times I want to say, maybe you should rethink that. Maybe you need to learn some parenting skills. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Amen? It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. Some of us are so arrogant that we can't learn some new parenting skills. Did I just say that? I did say that, didn't I? It's even on tape, on video. Anyway, wow, okay. Anyway, but let me just say this before I go on to the fourth heart, and that is this. Your kids, when they see you, do they see the same you? Or is the church you different from the home you? Oh, we all have our moments at home. We all do. Every one of us has our moments where like we lose it. Okay? We have issues or struggles. We all have those. But let's make sure they're only moments and quite quickly contained and ask for forgiveness for when that's necessary. But, you know, we all have those. But let's make sure that, you know what? Here's an old-fashioned, big, fancy, old, you know, old word, dissimulation. That there's no dissimulation. That there's no separation. That there's no difference between church you and home you. Amen? Our kids see that. Okay? You don't know how many times I've heard that. Our kids are left with confusion when there's a great separation between those two. Home you, church you. But let's talk about the church, this place. Let's talk about Seaport. Let's talk about what does love look like at Seaport Community Church? What would it be like if Seaport Community Church was committed to seeking each other's highest good? What would that look like? What would that be? What would that be like to go to a church that everybody was, you know what? I am committed to seeking this church, the people, their highest good. Mutual. One way. Interestingly, the Bible says 100 times. Anything that you see repeated in the Bible, especially 100 times, is God's way of going, hello! 100 times it says one another. Love one another. Pray for one another. Be patient with one another. Give to one another. 100 times. 100 times. Wow. You know? What if we were committed to doing that? Listen to what, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 5 again. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us. Oh boy, there we go, love and sacrifice again. How about this one from Philippians chapter 2? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy. Again, Paul speaking to the church in Philippi, by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. I think I saw that yesterday and last Saturday. Some of you saw my post on the connection page. I drove in here yesterday at 9:15 in the morning. You guys were all outside already, orange vests, all the vests. I came in there, I mean, it was like an explosion of orange, you know. And I said, look at that. It's as cold as crazy cold out here. And they're all out there, pumped, excited, ready to go. I pulled my car through and almost wept. I said, look at that. Look at that. And I thought to myself, surely half of them are going to bail out after a couple hours because it's so cold. I don't think hardly anybody did. I said, man, these people are nuts. In the best way. Look at what Paul says. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. This message was slated, the preaching team can tell you, was slated for months ago for today. Had nothing to do with the blessing. The blessing project came in after this. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. If we were to seek another's highest good here at Seaport Community Church, how quick would we be to forgive? How quick would we be not to be offended? How quick would we be to listen? How quick would we be not to get angry? How quick would we be to step in when somebody else can't do it? How quick would we be to serve? How quick would we be to give? How quick would we be to pray? How quick would we be to serve? If we said, I've come to give, to serve at this church, and I know I'll be blessed, instead of, I've come to this church to be blessed, and maybe I'll give. Maybe I'll serve. We got to flip that one around, don't we? What would Seaport be like? It was that critical night. Only Jesus knew what was about to happen next. The disciples just thought they were in an upper room celebrating the Passover like all good Jews did, celebrating God's deliverance from Egypt and his protection. And little did they know what was about to happen. Little did they know that Jesus was, again, taking the Passover and flipping it and turning it into what we call communion. Our own deliverance. Little did they know the things that would follow in hours after that meeting. Jesus' betrayal, crucifixion. And Jesus says this to them. He says, from now on, I'm giving you a new commandment. Saying to these tough guys, love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Isn't it interesting he would say that? You would have thought Jesus would have said, okay, guys, now this is our last night together like this, and so I want you to make sure that, okay, that everybody knows that you're one of my disciples. We're all going to dress alike. We're all going to talk alike. We're all going to subscribe to the absolute same doctrinal stance. Didn't say any of that. Didn't say any of that. He said the world will look at you and they'll go, hey, those guys are related to Jesus because how they love one another. one of the things that separates Christianity from all those world's religions is this, is that Christianity has an incredible focus on loving one another. That is not true of the world's other major religions. I study them, so I have a little sense of that. Okay? It separates it. It makes it very different. So if we were to ask, here's the final heart, the community. If we were to say, how can we seek our community's highest good? How can we do that? What would that look like? What is that? Of course, the Blessing Project has become something God just threw in this. We had no clue it was coming to us. It literally happened inside half an hour with a phone call out of nowhere. In Seaport, suddenly I'm on the phone with this guy from California who says, look, I would like to bring tractor-trailer loads full of food to give to you guys to distribute. Can you do it? I'm like, yeah. I'm not quite sure how we're going to do it, but we're going to do it. And today, maybe you saw this, Seaport has given away, I should say distributed, because we got it to give away. But we've distributed $100,000 in food. $100,000. Every tractor trailer is worth $50,000. Can you imagine that? And this is what's been said. So you hear that, you hear some of the things I hear. You don't hear everything that I hear. You don't get all the text messages I get. People pushing back and in a right way and saying, bless you, thank you for doing this. Thank you for doing this. We had nothing. Thank you, bless you. I don't see everything. I post a few things, but I don't post at all. But this is one of the things I have heard. People come into the community, into this parking lot, and they see you working together. They see you joyful. They see you happy. They see you loving them. Do you recognize they are blown away by that? Do you realize that some of you are praying for people who have never, ever had somebody audibly pray for them? And that's why they're sitting in their cars weeping. Because you lovingly pray for them. People have been healed. People have been saved. Just because we're blessing people. Food's just kind of the excuse, so to speak. You know? If we truly love one another, the world is going to look at us and go, you know, that doesn't seem like a normal church over there. That they're just used to, so many times people are used to going, please, it sounds critical, and I got to watch my heart and my mouth here, but sometimes people, their experience is just going into a church, they kind of file in, they find a seat, and they kind of go through this liturgy thing, and they get up and they go out, and nobody even talks to anybody. Some of you have had that experience, and don't raise your hand, you know? You know, so that's not church. I don't know, I'm not sure what that is, except a religious thing, you know? And what would happen, you know, if we could do that even better? Paul said to the church of Philippi, he says, you love, but you can love better. I think that's kind of where we are. You know? As we go into the world as fellow believers and people see us truly loving one another and caring about one another, let's let that love spill over to them as well, the people that don't know the Lord. You can love somebody and not agree with their politics. That's radical thinking, isn't it? Shocking. You can love people and not agree with their beliefs. Right? You can love people and not agree with their lifestyle. Right? It's tough. It's getting tougher and crazier all the time, but you can still treat them with a loving respect, right? You still can do that. I know it's getting more and more challenging, almost dangerous to speak the truth in love. Again, from Ephesians. I know. It's like, man, you can get canceled today. Yeah, and it takes a lot of wisdom to speak the truth in love and to do that. Yeah, I know it's dangerous. I know it is, but we can still do it. We can still do it wisely, carefully, lovingly. And they need us to do it. I've had hard conversations with some people that were, way outside, you know, my parameters. And I've had to say things to them like, please understand something. I love you. But what kind of a person would I be? What kind of a man would I be? What kind of a Christian would I be if I were to agree with you in your particular choice of life and choices and all things that you're doing? If I was to celebrate and bless you in that, if I was to do that when I don't, and I know that that's not going to take you to where you need to go, what kind of a man am I that doesn't love you enough to say, you better rethink that? What kind of a pastor am I? What kind of a friend am I that doesn't just go, I can't go there with you because that's not loving you? That's a tough one today, isn't it? Very tough. It's tough for me, too. Tough for me, too. But what about Mike? What about Mike? What about him? Mike and I would kind of go different directions after college, as you do. He would go off into whatever college and ministry he would do after our college experience together. And we kind of kept track of one another for a while, but we didn't, you know, things just go different directions. And so, I mean, through the years, I kind of hear that he was over here and over there and doing this and doing that. But 35 years after we graduated, through the miracle of social media, he pops back up. And we reconnect. And I'll never forget the day he wrote this to me. He said, I don't know if I ever said thank you for all the time that you spent with me all those years ago. Because it was that that helped me become and do what I've done all these decades. At that time, he was serving, I think he still is, as a pastor of a church down on the border of Mexico and Texas, a long way from South Weymouth, Massachusetts, on the South Shore, you know. And I thought, what if I hadn't laid my life down for Mike? Who's going to come back to you someday and go, it was because you laid your life down that God has used me and changed me? That's a decision to love, isn't it? Band's coming, but as they do, Five Hearts. God. Spouse, family, church, community. If we came to every one of those hearts and said, how can I seek the highest good? What could be different? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? I'll be really transparent with you right now. God's been speaking to me about reaching out to somebody in my life that, wow, it's a tough one for me. Oh, brutal. It's brutal. So I keep saying, God, I don't think you know what you're talking about, so we'll just dismiss that. And I are having ongoing negotiations about this. We'll see how it all goes, how it all turns out. That's what I've been wrestling with all week. What's that look like? God, help me. I want you to stand with me. We'll be close. Going to do? The Lord's speaking to some of you right now and he's saying you need to seek the highest good. This is how you're going to do it. You need to go and to love. And this this is what you need to do. And some of you are doing like me. Oh, no, that's not God. Uh-huh. Trouble of it probably is him. And he'll give you the grace, he'll give you the strength to go seek the Lord's highest good. But if your default position is, well, I don't think they'll do it for me, you'll never get anywhere. You got to act first. Amen? And let me, just before we sing the song, and then I'll come back and close us. If you're here today, you've never really experienced the love of God, if you've never known, I mean, you know about this God, but you've never asked him to forgive you of your sin. If you have never opened your heart and said, I need a new path, I need a new life. If you've never opened it up and said, God, have mercy upon me, heal me, save me, take me to heaven. Heaven's not automatic. Don't think it's automatic. It's not automatic. You've got to make preparations to get there. There's only one way. If you've never done that, I challenge you today. I'm going to pray in just a moment. I'm going to say, if you've never invited Christ to come into your life, you need to pray a simple prayer. You can pray with me. This just goes, it goes like this. It just goes, Father God, help me. Forgive me. Heal me. I receive Jesus and his mercy today. It can be that simple. You say, how will I know when it happens? Oh, you'll know. You'll feel the weight of sin come off of you. You'll feel a joy come into your heart. You'll feel a peace that you've never known. And it'll be amazing. If that's you, pray this with me. Father God, I know you love me. I open my heart to you. Forgive me. Heal me. Put me on a new path. I receive your gift of salvation through Jesus this day. Thank you. He's been waiting for you. We're going to sing this song. And when we come back, you know what? Let's do this. We have people that are an altar team. They'll come up here and they'll pray with you. They'll be masked. You be masked. All that good jazz. They'll pray with you. Just come right on up here and they'll pray with you. Let's sing this song and then I'll come back and I'm going to close this. Let's sing it. How can I pray with you, my brother?
The fountain I drink from, oh, he is my son. Let the king of my heart be the shadow where I hide. The ransom for my life, oh, he is my son. You are good. Oh, Lord, you are good. never gonna let me die.
If you need us to pray with you, but right now I'm going to go ahead and formally dismiss this. But if you're here today and you've made a commitment to Christ, just text the word New Life, just one word, New Life, the number on the screen, and that'll be a great way to connect with us. You can use the word welcome, that'll connect with us too. If you're not connected to us, but if you're making a commitment to Christ today, first time, use the word New Life, one word. Hallelujah. There's lots of other ways to connect with us, and you can see those and hear about those. See that on our bulletin. But I'm going to dismiss us right now. First of all, I want to dismiss any of you that are 65 and above, and you know, you've got some sort of, you know, compromised immune system. God bless you. You can go right now. We honor you, bless you as you go. You know, hallelujah, hallelujah. Those of you on the two sides against the walls, you guys can go right now. Go ahead and pick up your kids. Don't forget them. Hallelujah. And now all the rest of you in these two center sections, God bless you as you go. Look forward to seeing you Wednesday night. Hallelujah. God bless all of you. Thank you.
When the night is holding on to me, God is holding on. When the night is holding on to me, God is holding on. When the night is holding on.